Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 15th. So, a budget repair bill is on its way to Governor Doyle's desk after the State Assembly yesterday passed it. The State Senate passed it on Tuesday. The budget balancing plan is meant to fix a $527 million budget shortfall. But it seems no one is really happy with this deal, and Governor Doyle is probably going to take out his veto pen and strike out parts of it in the coming days. We'll talk about what's in this bill and what's not, whether it fixes anything or just pushes off a problem to the next budget, and we will wonder from you, does it make sense, as the bill contains, to delay $125 million in school aid payments? That's a part of the budget repair bill that Governor Doyle doesn't like. Sounds like he is interested in trying to transfer more money out of the transportation fund. Which makes more sense to you? And in the long run, is this really any way to budget a state? We'll welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will talk about the politics of repairing the state budget. With Dennis Driesing, a UW-Madison political scientist. He is a professor of public affairs and political science and director of the Center on State, Local, and Tribal Governance at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this budget repair bill, does it repair anything?
Well, I suppose that the analogy would be putting a finger in the dike. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really repair anything. It does accomplish something that's necessary. We do have to do something because there is a requirement to have a balanced budget at the state by the end of June.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't really solve the problem in any kind of near or medium or certainly long-term kind of nature.
In essence, it was doing stuff like delaying the school aid payments, maybe refinancing, tobacco bonds?
Right. Mm-hmm. The tobacco settlement that was reached in the late 90s provides 25 years of payments from the tobacco companies to the state. And so essentially it's taking 12 years of those payments and selling them to investors and trying to get an immediate amount of the $209 million. So we lose revenue. The borrowing really pushes off a problem. It doesn't really solve anything. In fact, it kind of makes the state's deficit problem, long-term deficit problem, even worse.
How bad is it?
Well, an agency, we have an agency within the legislature, a staffing agency that's nonpartisan, very professional, that help out with questions like this, and they're projecting that when we start talking about the next budget, which is the 2009-2011 budget, we're going to start out that whole process with a $1.7 billion, with a B, deficit. So right off the top, before you can even start spending anything, you've got to think about, well, how are you going to pay $1.7 billion that you already owe because of the problems we've got right now?
Holy cow, you can't find that kind of money to transfer out of the transportation fund, can you?
You certainly can. Mm-hmm. We've really, it started in the 90s, and it's just continued, but we've really gotten ourselves in a major problem. And I guess some people have been quoting Will Rogers, who said, you know, when you're in a hole, the worst thing to do is keep on digging. And that's about what we're doing.
Well, what is it? From the news reports anyway, we hear Governor Doyle isn't thrilled in particular with this aspect of the budget repair bill that would delay school aid payments, the $125 million in school aid payments. And it sounds like instead he wants to use more of the transportation fund instead of delaying those payments, right?
That's right.
Yeah. He can still do that with his restricted veto power? He can still make that kind of change in this bill?
Well, I understand he's pretty good at Scrabble, but boy, this is going to take a lot of creativity. I think over the years we've sort of realized that governors have been able to use that veto pen very creatively, but it has, as you point out, been restricted by what was called the Vanna White Amendment and most recently by what was called the Frankenstein Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how he is going to accomplish that. Conceivably, what he might do is end up with a bill that doesn't take care of the full $527 million and calls the legislature back into special session to deal with the remainder and really push for getting more money out of the transportation fund. Another issue that could be brought back, at least theoretically, maybe not politically, is that issue that we've talked about before and the legislature's talked about before, and that is having a fee on hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
That leverage would end up bringing in about $200 million extra money after we pay the hospitals back for the fee that we would get from the federal government. But that doesn't seem to be part of the solution right now either.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And we will welcome your thoughts, your questions for our guest, Dennis Dreesing, who is a professor of public affairs and political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about the budget repair bill and Wisconsin's budget problems. Maybe we can talk, too, about whether you think we just plain have to raise taxes in this state to meet budget needs, or do you think this budget deficit, that $1.7 billion, especially for the next budget, can we solve that with spending cuts alone? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. How would you solve the budget woes in Wisconsin? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 15th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5 o'clock this afternoon, how does power play out in the back rooms of Washington, D.C.? Ben and his guest will discuss the dynamics of power in the nation's capital and how it's changed the relationships between citizens and their government. That's coming up At Issue with Ben Marins after 5. We're talking about the state budget and the budget repair bill that is on its way to the governor's desk. The state assembly yesterday voted to pass a budget repair bill to fix the $527 million state budget shortfall. The Senate passed it on Tuesday. Governor Doyle isn't happy with at least a part of the budget agreement that would delay $125 million in school aid payments. But if he vetoes that, will he try to transfer again from the transportation fund? We are talking about the politics of repairing the state budget. We welcome your questions, your suggestions for a fix for our guest political scientist, Dennis Dreesing, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Professor Dreesing, the hospital tax is something that the governor wanted in there. At first, the Hospital Association opposed it. Then it said, hey, it's fine, go ahead, because this will result in more federal money for Medicaid reimbursements, right?
That's right. That's a great summary.
And so what's the problem? How come the legislature didn't put that in there?
Well, there's a core of legislators in the Republican caucus and the assembly that have taken a very, very firm stand that they are not going to support anything that has the word tax in it. And, you know, one might play with semantics, perhaps, and call it a fee instead of a tax, but in any case, they have said they're not going to vote for anything that can be construed as a tax, and that includes the hospital tax. They understand that the hospitals have no problem with it. They presumably understand that this actually nets the state an extra $200 million. But they have this very philosophical, very firm position, and that's really the explanation for why Wisconsin is not doing this.
Yeah. Do you know why Governor Doyle has a problem with the refinancing of those future payments from the tobacco settlement? And also, is it also the cigarette tax, too, or no?
No, I don't think the cigarette tax is involved in this one. Governor Doyle was the attorney general when the state, along with other states, reached a settlement with a tobacco company. And this idea of using the money we're getting from the tobacco companies, selling it at a premium for immediate cash, was used when Scott McCallum was governor, and Governor Doyle opposed it then. The legislature went ahead and essentially took a dollar and gave up $5 for the particular proposal that took place at that point in time. Wasn't a good financial deal. Essentially, that's the very same kind of issue that we're dealing with again. In other words, that for the investor, and by the way, the investors were primarily the tobacco companies. They're the ones who got the benefit out of that because they bought back their own bonds, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And he opposed it then. He opposes it now. It, I think his argument is that it doesn't make financial sense. We lose less revenue in the long term, and all it does is, again, really avoid the issues of taking care of the problems that we've got, immediate problems as well as long-term problems.
Yeah, we got lots of callers, but there's a lot of other things that are in or not in this repair bill that I wanted to touch base on. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner is apparently upset with one provision in this budget repair bill. Apparently, it taps that $10 fee that was placed on our driver's licenses to be earmarked for implementing the federal Real ID program, and apparently this budget agreement uses that money to fix the budget hole.
Yes. The state, along with many other states, not all, but many other states, got an agreement by the federal government to postpone the deadline for complying with the federal law to change our driver's license so that it has this extra element of security in it. And we had, as you point out, we had developed a fund of $22 million to pay for the cost of changing our driver's license. And essentially what the legislature has done is said, well, let's use that money now for something else since we've got the delay in the deadline for complying with the federal law. It's not clear how we would pay for eventually complying with the federal law.
Yeah. Well, we tons of calls, but Professor Driesing, what is your bottom line, or what are the bean counters saying? Can Wisconsin, cut its way out of this fiscal hole, or will taxes have to be raised?
I think the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Yeah, probably so. It really 23 other states who have faced similar problems and are facing similar problems have bitten the bullet, and nobody likes to raise taxes, but you do the math and you look at the reality of what the state really has to do in providing for services, and you just can't afford not to raise taxes at some point. This particular proposal, by the way, does a little bit of that. There's $15 million in raised taxes by closing some loopholes that businesses have enjoyed.
But that's right.
It's a small amount.
The Las Vegas loophole was put in this repair bill?
Right, right.
Getting rid of the Las Vegas
getting
loophole.
Getting rid of it. So I think that's one issue. It's always easy for people to say, well, we got to cut the money that we're spending. We've been doing that now for about 10 years, and so you reach a point where you can't just say that, you can't just assume that there is some fat in there that can be taken out. I think the burden now is on people to be very specific about saying, what kinds of programs are we probably just going to have to cut out? You can't do it across the board anymore. You're really getting into the core funding for a lot of the programs in state government.
Rose in Menominee is with us. Hi, Rose. You're on the air.
Hi. You actually addressed part of my question, and that was about the Las Vegas loophole and the many other tax-exempt organizations and so on. But I don't know if that is a drop in the bucket or if that's possible.
Yeah, first of all, is closing that Las Vegas loophole, that's going to raise $15 million, you say, Professor Driesing?
Right, so it is a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. What about there are tax-exempt organizations, and in the past we've talked about whether, you know, they should have a tax on them, or various tax exemptions that exist that maybe should be taken away. Is that a likelihood down the road, you think?
Well, there is discussion about that, and it raises a lot of other kind of public policy issues. Public policy issues having to deal with religious and not-for-profit organizations that are set up to do something that we traditionally have not levied taxes on, and they have made plans, and they've got budgets, assuming that indeed they're going to continue to have the tax exemptions. There are issues that are very political in nature. Every once in a while, someone will remind us that we have a sales tax, but we don't have a sales tax on basic necessities, but is something like pet grooming a basic necessity?
Uh-huh.
We don't have a sales tax on that.
Uh-huh.
And you certainly can generate more revenue by going through our tax laws, taking a hard look at some of these issues, asking about the philosophy and the public policy on the one hand and the political deals that have been made on the other. And, of course, when political deals are there, they're consequential. You're going to get some real opposition, and you do have to get political support. Probably best in that kind of situation to have a kind of comprehensive package approach rather than a little bit here and a little bit there. We have not had in our state since, it's now been almost 25 years since we've had a major review and overhaul of our tax system. And in that 25 years, you've had these political deals, frankly, that get cut, that exempt something for one company and then something for another company. And after a while, this stuff all adds up.
Do we know, do you know, Professor Driesing, if Governor Doyle is okay with closing this Las Vegas loophole or if he considers that a tax increase on businesses?
That's a very good question, Joy, and I don't know for sure. He has not made any public statement about this, so I guess we can guess. He has not been in favor of increasing taxes, period.
Right.
And he's really been able to get us through these difficult financial years ever since he took office without tax increases.
General tax increases.
That's right.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will talk more about state budget woes with Dennis Driesing. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us as we talk about the state budget repair bill, which is on its way to the governor's desk. The state assembly passed the bill yesterday, the state senate on Tuesday. The governor says he's going to take out his veto pen. He doesn't like some aspects of this bill, like a delay in $125 million in school aid payments. The gov says that would not be a good thing to do. The governor seems to favor transferring more money from the transportation fund as a way to fix a $527 million budget shortfall. What do you want to see? What questions do you have? And many are saying this just delays the problem. This really doesn't fix anything. This just delays the problem. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How do you think the budget deficit can be solved? both in the short term and the long term, for that matter. To the phones we go. Mike in Madison has been waiting. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks. First thought is you ought to have Professor Driesing on more often. He really is fair and balanced and a voice of reason on most of these issues. Fun to listen to. Secondly, my questions real quickly. One, what percent of our budget is, you know, we're always talking about discretionary spending and sort of fixed spending in the federal budget. I don't know if Professor Driesing can give us some idea of where we really do have any leeway at all to deal with things. And secondly, it just seems like more and more we've shifted taxes away from the corporations and onto the individuals. And, you know, I understand how that, why that's happened politically, but I'm wondering if there isn't room there to sort of redress that imbalance.
And I agree, Professor Driesing, fair and balanced. What about what about the, is there a certain percentage of the budget that's fixed?
Yes. I obviously appreciate the kind words. It is important to make a distinction between the discretionary spending and the non-discretionary. And we talked before, for example, about this $1.7 billion structural budget deficit. Well, that's a good example of non-discretionary. Other non-discretionary kinds of issues are where somebody's eligible for something by law, and so the state has to pay for it by that. The kind of some sufficient funding that we provide for heating and providing utilities to buildings. I don't know exactly what the current status is in terms of percentage. Discretionary spending had shrunk to about one-third of the budget. And obviously that becomes a real concern. One of the issues that gets related to this is the transportation fund, because in a way that is what we often refer to as multi-pocket funding, or it's where you take money from one particular source, you put it into one particular pocket, and you say, well, we can't spend for other purposes. That's a type of issue where you curtail your discretion, and most of us wouldn't do that on a personal or family budget basis, but our state budget is set up in that way, and so the issue then becomes, well, how about on a one-time basis taking some of that money out? And by the way, we ought to remember that what Governor Doyle is proposing is not taking the money out of the transportation fund and never putting it back. He's talking about taking it out, taking advantage of low-interest loans that are available right now, and then putting money back into the transportation fund on that basis.
Then how come we see people from the transportation industry saying that if we do these types of transfers, we're going to lose a bunch of transportation jobs, that this is going to stop road projects?
Well, that really is not an accurate way of looking at it. In fact, a major push for the budget repair bill having been passed right now is to make sure that contracts are going out so that we can get road projects done this summer. And so the spending is indeed going to be taking place. And I'm sure that when the governor uses the partial veto pen, that it will not be done in a way that jeopardizes that, because that really has been a major driver of doing the budget repair bill now rather than later. There's a general concern that people in the transportation industry, as well as others, have of setting a precedent, of saying, well, you know, you take that money out now, and then it's going to be taken out later. Pretty soon, over the years, we're going to forget that we had this deal that when we paid taxes at the gasoline pump, that those taxes went into the transportation fund rather than to pay for other kinds of state expenses. So I think that's more a more legitimate kind of concern here than that we aren't going to be repairing our roads, and the people whose jobs depend on those kinds of tasks are going to be out of work.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to go back to Mike, but I think he's left. So let's go to Tim in Oshkosh. Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Jim in Oshkosh.
Hi, Jim.
I am going to suggest something that I know people aren't going to be happy with. That's a tax increase. In the days of Governor Thompson, a supposed fiscal conservative, he and the Democratic and Republican legislature spent like crazy. In the 70s, Governor Knowles, a Republican, invoked a one-year surtax on income. Governor Earle did it, a one-year surtax in the 1980s to get us out of the hole. We need to do that now. The legislators need to bite the bullet and admit that they have messed up our fiscal system. Once that surtax, which sunsets in 1 year, gets us out of the hole, then we need to go into massive tax reform. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. What do you think of that, Professor Driesing?
Well, Jim does remind us of approaches that have been taken in the past, and the surtax, for example, that he mentioned that Governor Earle used to get us out of a budget problem during a recession that we experienced then, was actually removed earlier than it was scheduled to be removed, primarily because it did work. We got ourselves out of debt and out of deficit without doing what was done during the 90s, which is this ongoing structural budget deficit. And, you know, the term fiscal conservative for that kind of behavior is one that people are arguing about. That may not be a real good way of characterizing it, because it really is borrowing and spending. We spent a lot of money and increased spending and increased state government size during the 90s, but did it primarily on a bet. And that bet was that our economy was going to grow so robust that we would get tax revenues that were most people realize were just really unrealistic. Our economy didn't grow that much. The bet was not a good bet, and that's why we're in the trouble that we're in now.
Brian in Monona in this email says, I think, in fact, that every time we raid the road fund and medical malpractice fund, we're raising taxes. We're just putting lipstick on a pig and calling these raids transfers when they're really tax increases. I think it's time for the legislature and the governor to grow up and act like adults. If we need to raise taxes, then raise taxes. Stop playing these games. Your reaction, Professor Driesing?
Well, I think Brian and Jim are kind of converging on the issue of, gee, maybe we really ought to think seriously about raising taxes. I am not sure that I agree with Brian's point that when you take money out that's in a surplus account, mm-hmm. which is really what we're talking about with the Patients' Compensation Fund and the Transportation Fund, that's raising taxes. That in itself doesn't really increase gasoline taxes or sales tax or income tax. It's taking money out of an account that really has more than the expenditures are, you know, for that particular item.
Our guest is Dennis Driesing. He's a professor of political affairs and political science and director of the Center on State, Local, and Tribal Governance at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he's talking with us about the state budget repair bill that the legislature has approved and sent to the governor, talking about what's in that bill and what's not, what will stay and what will go when the governor pulls out his veto pen, and talking about how to fix Wisconsin's budget shortfall, both short-term and long-term, and welcoming your ideas and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 15th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will welcome in David Horowitz. He is the author of a new book, Party of Defeat. Talks about how Democrats and liberals are undermining the war on terror. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Talking about the state budget, the state budget repair bill, the politics of that with our guest, Dennis Driesing from UW-Madison. Bob in Darlington is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, thank you. Good morning to both of you. I just have a question concerning, you know, where we are maybe with the possibility of consolidation in the schools. I know it's been talked a lot, and, you know, in terms of how much money it might save, and again, if that's anywhere or just what it is, talk. So I'll take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Any talk of school consolidation?
Yeah, there has been talk, but I am not aware of any serious action in recent years to do school consolidation. It's not clear exactly how much money that would save, and the most direct money it would save would be in property taxes on a local level rather than fixing the state budget, but it would affect state expenses as well. We do have, right off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact number, but we've got a number of school districts around the state that have fewer than 15 school-age children, so that... Mm-hmm. You know, there is a certain logic there of doing some consolidation, maybe relying more on technology for distance education, things like that.
There are some odd ducks in this budget repair bill. Did I read, I think it's still in there, the do not call list for cell phones is in the budget repair bill?
I had heard that. I am not sure whether that is still part of it or not.
I mean, it's great to have a do not call list for cell phones. But
it is, isn't it?
But I don't know. It seems kind of strange to have it in the budget repair bill, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. And that's not the first time we've included what really are policy matters in a budget bill. It is, when you piggyback an issue like that into a budget bill, that usually is good news for getting it passed because you have to pass that budget bill, and so if it's a part of it, it'll get passed.
Don in Madison is with us now. Hi, Don.
Hi, good morning to you and your guests. How are you doing?
Good.
Great. Hey, my comment, and this applies more to the local level than it does to the budget. I own an engineering firm. I've worked in Europe, and I've worked here in the States, and the amount of money that we spend on athletics, it boggles my mind. I've got over 300 employees, and I didn't hire one of them based on their athletic ability when they were in school. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a complete waste of money, and that's just my personal opinion. And the amount of money we spend on that just boggles my mind, from athletic directors to coaches to keeping up the facilities to the grounds themselves. And I'd really like to see that dropped out and more emphasis on academics.
Well, again, though, that probably, Professor Driesing, doesn't have a whole lot to do with the state budget, does it?
No, it really doesn't. That's more of a local school issue, and when we're talking about the university, the athletic program there is all self-supporting. In fact, it actually generates money for scholarships for non-athletes. I think that the issue here is really in part political, but I think in large part cultural. People regard athletics and sports as part of life, part of their culture, and I think that's why they're willing to spend money on it. And even at the local level, athletic budgets are sometimes supported, at least in part, by sources other than taxes. So you have to kind of take a close look at that in terms of the implications on either local or state public budgets.
Yeah. Speaking of the UW system, that's one area that took a big hit the last time the state dealt with a gazillion-dollar budget deficit, because that's one of the biggest areas of state spending, right?
That's right, and this is actually true in other states as well. Public universities are very, very vulnerable when there are budget deficits. For a lot of people, it seems like, well, yeah, we can cut some more from the university. Sometimes that goes along with saying, well, we can increase tuition to take care of what we're not spending in terms of public dollars. It does raise some real issues about maintaining the quality of the university. There's been a lot of stories, as I'm sure everybody knows, about professors leaving the university because other places are offering considerably higher salaries. We haven't really had any significant salary increase in almost 10 years now. And the issue of raising tuition raises issues of access. Are you really going to make public universities almost into a semi-private university?
Yeah. You're one of the few people left in the political science department, right?
That's right. They're telling me that I've got to be the one to turn the lights out.
Chris in Burlington is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a comment about people thinking that taking money out of the transportation fund is not affecting Wisconsin when it supports the whole infrastructure of Wisconsin. And you're saying, he said that there's no jobs affected. We have 800 employees in the hall without work because they've already taken money out of the transportation fund 2 years in a row. That money is not to be spent to balance the budget. It's for your roads. And do we have to wait for another bridge to collapse or something serious to happen before that gets taken care of?
Now, isn't the money, though, hasn't the money that was transferred been replaced somehow, though, with some sort of bonding, Chris? So it's not really gone.
Correct, but we're already a shortfall, and that's not, it's going to affect the next how many years, you know? Yeah. It's not going to correct the problem. He's right. Just putting it into a later year.
Yeah. Professor Driesing, I don't get it.
Well, I think what we might be seeing here is a situation where there's maybe lower transportation funding in one particular community, and maybe that's what she's talking mm-hmm. about. Overall spending on transportation issues, road repair, things like that, has actually gone up. So we're spending more, even though we have this rather robust transportation fund. Transportation fund is robust in part because of gasoline prices and gasoline consumption and those factors. But the state has actually not been decreasing the overall amount of money it's spending on road repairs. And, in fact, given the harsh winter that we've just had and the damage it's done to roads, the anticipation is we're going to be spending even more than what we originally budgeted.
Yeah. Next we go. Thank you very much, Chris, for the call. Bernie in Buckhorn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, in Elkhorn, actually.
Okay.
But wanted to give you very quickly three things they should do but won't. One is avoid building new roads that they don't need to. Two is stop having the Department of Commerce give out grants, corporate welfare, to companies that are already very profitable. And three is to end the drug war in Wisconsin. Stop wasting law enforcement and prison and judge resources on this nonsense. And maybe even make some money and try to legalize marijuana.
There we go. Professor Driesing, any comment on any of those areas?
Well, I think Bernie is absolutely right that they probably won't be adopted. None of them. Although, yeah, I must say that these are proposals that certainly have some merit. They've got some intuitive appeal and substantive appeal, but not enough political appeal to really anticipate that they're going to become law.
The corrections portion of the budget is another big hog, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. Mm-hmm. And and Bernie's right about mm-hmm. taking, if we sort of take the issue of drugs and make it a little bit larger one and taking a look at our corrections policy, our corrections policy really does need some examination. As many people know, we have about the same crime rate as the neighboring state of Minnesota. In many ways, we share a lot of characteristics with Minnesota. They spend one-third the budget on corrections that we do, and in large part, it's because they find more cost-effective ways of punishing criminals than putting them into jail. They only put people into prison who are dangerous to themselves or others, white-collar crimes, pink-collar crimes, a lot of the drug crimes that really are not connected with violence, they can be punished, but you don't have to punish them by the very expensive method, which is putting them in jail, or prison, I should say.
Well, in our final moments here, we talked about a number of things that are in this repair bill and things that are not. Anything else that's unusual or notable about the budget repair bill and what you think the governor will do about it?
Well, an issue that people ought to be aware of that's kind of a cloud on the horizon that is related to this is the lawsuits that the state is involved in.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lawsuit, for example, for $23 million liability that the state would have on repaying companies for a sales tax that they levied on certain kinds of computer software. The state lost that suit at the appeals court level. It's now before the state Supreme Court. If the state Supreme Court agrees with the appeals court, that's $293 million that the state is going to owe. That's obviously a big chunk.
Yikes, and that patient compensation fund is the subject of the transfer of money from that is being challenged in courts, too.
That's right, and that's another $200 million. So we're almost up to the $527 million that we just dealt with.
There we go. Well, we will have you back soon, as long as you have time for us. So with your busy schedule, Professor Driesang, thanks very much for being with us.
Sure, thank you, Joy.
Dennis Driesang, Professor of Public Affairs and Political Science, and the Director of the Center on State, Local, and Tribal Governments at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. That's a mouthful. Talking with us about the budget repair bill, which is on its way to Governor Doyle. He's going to veto part of it, or at least parts of it, and we'll have more on that as the news becomes available. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour and Michelle Kofel for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.